Welcome to Blessings from Beulah Street, this weekly program of timeless Southern gospel music and a thoughtful message is brought to you by the Mount Calvary Community Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Along the way, we trust you'll find hope, forgiveness, and resurrection in the music and the message. We'll begin this week's program with a special song from Marnell Tanner singing an Ivan Parker tune, It's True, on Blessings from Beulah Street.
By the bed of a dying dear old friend, we talked about what Jesus said, how someday he'd live again. He held his Bible to his chest as he slowly slipped away. And in his final breath I heard my daddy say, it's true. I could hear the angels singing, it's true. And heaven's bells are ringing, I can see the face of my Jesus. And he's coming for me. It's true. I see loved ones who are waiting. It's true. The things of earth are fading. I'll be waiting on the other side for you. It's true. I know that there will come a day when death will call for me. They will put my body in the ground, but that's not where I'll be. So when I have these fears and doubts about what lies ahead, I just think about my dear old dad and the last two words he said. It's true. I can hear the angels singing. It's true. And heaven's bells are ringing. I can see the face of my Jesus, and he's coming for me. It's true. I see loved ones who are waiting. It's true. The things of earth are fading. I'll be waiting on the other side for you. I'll be waiting. Dad, we'll be back together one day as a family. It's true.
Here's Mount Calvary Community Church Pastor Charlie Wood.
I still believe in a God who hears my prayer, who answers my prayer. Sometimes, I heard it one time. Let me think about that. I heard that God answers prayer in four ways. I heard that he answers prayer sometimes with no. Okay? Then I heard that God answers prayer with slow. So many times we ask for something and we're waiting for God, and in our mind, I want patience and I want it right now, God, give it to me. I've heard that he answers with grow, and then I also heard that he answers with go. Now, sometimes God's answer is no, because he knows far better for you what you need. Sometimes it's slow, because just think, if you had a child and they came in and they wanted a piece of candy, sometimes that parent would say, no, you can't have that piece of candy because supper time. Sometimes you just say, slow, just take one piece of candy, right? One piece of candy. Sometimes it would be grow, where you tell that child, you know, when you finish cleaning your room, when you finish that task I put on your plate, then you can go ahead and have that piece of candy. Or sometimes it's just go, where God says, just dig in, eat all the candy you want. So I'm not sure exactly what the answers are to these prayers today, but I know the one that we're going to pray to. Amen? Amen.
Now, let's listen to the Mount Calvary Singers as they remind us to dig a little deeper for God's love.
I want to dig, dig, dig a little deeper. I want to dig, dig, dig a little deeper. I want to dig, dig, dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper in His love. I want to dig a little deeper in His love. Dig a little deeper in His love. I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of His love. Of His love.
Well, I want to walk
a little more like a Christian should.
I want to talk
a little more like Jesus would.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of His love. Of His love.
Nearer to Thee.
Nearer to Thee.
I want to be.
I want to be.
Well, I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of His love. Of His love.
Let my light shine.
Let my light shine.
In love divine.
In love divine.
Well, I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of His love. Of His love.
Well, I want to
dig a little deeper in His love.
I want to
dig a little deeper in His love.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of His love. Of His love.
Well, I want to walk.
That's the Mount Calvary Singers on Blessings from Beulah Street. In this week's message, Pastor Charlie Wood speaks on the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 4, and reminds us that even something as small as a golf ball can spread the message of God's love.
You know, sometimes you just want to do something a little different. And I thought today what I would do is, since I didn't have a keyboard or a piano or a guitar, that I would preach out of my golf bag. So what we're going to do, I'm going to come over here, is that's foot spray. We don't want that.
No, we don't want that.
We don't want the foot spray. If you're going to play, you have to reach in your bag and you have to get a golf ball. Okay? And I have a very unique golf ball. If you have a golf ball, you play golf. Most of you don't play golf, so you won't know anything I'm talking about. But on the golf ball, it has a little number, so you identify your own golf ball. You hit out there, you got to be able to identify. I put a little blue dot on it so everybody knows it's mine. But I have a dozen golf balls that were given to me from one of our dear members here at Mount Calvary Community Church. Her initials are Little Jill. And it's a very, very unique golf ball, because on this golf ball, it says the words, Charlie Wood. I don't know if that's a good idea. From where I hit this golf ball, I'm not sure. You know, you just accept a gift, you know, you don't reason. But right under it, it has something unique. It has Luke, the 15th chapter and the 4th verse. Luke 15, the 4th verse. So what I'm going to do is, since I pulled this sermon out of my golf bag this morning, I'm going to read to you starting in Luke, the 15th chapter. And then I'm going to point out that fourth verse for you. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near Him to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He spoke. Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying, and Luke, the 15th chapter, the 4th verse, it reads, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Now, I'm going to continue reading, but before I do that, I want you to focus. The reason I believe I have this golf ball, because it talks about going into the wilderness and searching for the one that is lost. go into the wilderness and search for the one that is lost. And the fifth verse reads, and when he has found it, he lays that lamb upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. And God, just for a few minutes, allow us to just receive that truth. Each one is an individual in our heart of hearts. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. He goes into the wilderness and searches for the one that is lost. You know, Jill, I want to thank you, Jim, for such a kind gift. But I love things that are just absolutely unique. And this is unique because I use this as a tool on the golf course. Because people, they pick the ball and they say, I see your name, but is your name Charlie Wood or is it Luke? I said, no, my name's Charlie. So then I get to tell a little bit about the story and I get to share that scripture. And you will be amazed about how people respond. I know that, I tell you, I love stories with happy endings. I love stories. When I'm watching a movie, I mean, I want the happy ending. I want things to be good. I just like it. When I walk out, I just want to smile. I want to feel good. And I know that my Savior, my God, is in the good story business. I know when I read this scripture, and it just thrills me so much because it talks about, and Jesus used this illustration of how a man with a hundred, if he simply lost one, would leave that 99, go into the wilderness, and search for that one lost sheep. You and I have been that one lost sheep. You and I, we have struggled at certain times. We don't, I'm so tickled I heard, hold on there. Need to get a tea there next time, Matt. I know that when I heard Harlene's testimony about how God moved her heart, that she was able to share her life story and to write a book, and the title of that book, The Miraculous Saving Grace of God. I know that's her story that she wants to share. I was never as quite as adept as some others. One of the folks at my, when I was born, looked over in the crib and said, you know, he'll either be a good lawyer or he will need a good lawyer. We're not sure. Some of us started just a little bit different. I heard of, and I tell you, I love speakers. I love people when they get up and share. And I love guys that can kind of tie in what they're trying to get across with a little bit of humor. And I want to share with you, I heard Coach Lou Holtz one time. Now, if you don't know who Lou Holtz was, he was the coach of Notre Dame, very famous football coach. Oh, but he was also, and I heard him a number of times, he would come on different channels and would speak, and he was speaking at the Western Insurance Company's sales meeting. They invited him in for the annual sales meeting. And he says, you know, he says, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. He said, you know, he said his first year he actually went to Arkansas. And the first year that he was at Arkansas, they won the Orange Bowl. And everybody absolutely loved him. He said, they put me in the first year into the Arkansas Hall of Fame and issued a commemorative stamp in my honor. He said, the next year we lost to Texas. He said they had to stop the stamp because everybody kept spitting on the wrong side of the stamp before they put it on the letter. Things can change in your life. He said he started out and he was young and had a job and he was trying to sell cemetery plots and things weren't working too well. And finally his wife told him, she says, I'm sorry, but you really can't sell anything. And I proved her wrong. He said, that one year, we sold our car, We sold our stereo. We sold some of our furniture. You know, things in your life may not go quite the way that you want them to go. But I'm here to tell you that in the scripture, it thrills my heart with the illustration that Jesus used, and I can use the same illustration. And first of all, in that fourth verse, I love that phrase where it says, Jesus, to go after. That one who was lost, he left 99 in the wilderness, and Jesus, he went after the lost sheep. I serve a God who is willing to go after you when you are in a time of struggle. If you talk about struggle, if you talk about suffering, you will always have an audience. I believe that because in every congregation, there is someone whose heart is hurting. And I'm here to say today that I serve a God who is willing to go after you as an individual. As we read down later, it says, and when he has found it, Jesus is invested in you. Everybody talks about how I'm searching for this and how I'm searching for that, and I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that. But I love it when I read the scriptures and I realize how much Jesus is invested in you and I. I know that there was a young boy, and he came home, a little sadness on his face and all like that, and he told his father about, in gym class, he had lost, and they had a little co-ed game going on like that, and his father said, son, you didn't lose to a mere girl, did you? And he said, father, he said, those mere girls are not so mere anymore. Right, girls? Trust me, to Jesus, there are no mere girls. There are no mere boys. There are no mere men. There are no mere women. Jesus knows how special you are. Who else would send a son to die on the cross for you and me? First of all, he would go into the wilderness and search. And then when he finds it, he goes, he comes home, he calls together his friends, he calls together his neighbors, and he says to them, rejoice with me. You know what makes God happy? Someone that has gone through a struggle. Someone who has possibly gotten out of the fold. Someone who is dealing with so much and at certain times. And I know how easy it is for some people to turn their back on the church, to turn their back on God because of the struggles that they have to deal with. I know that we, the Christian army, the only army that in the past has been known to shoot their wounded. And we ought to be ashamed about it. Because the times when people are struggling is a time that we should just embrace them all the more. But my Jesus, he goes and he searches. And he finds. And once he finds, he returns. And he calls everyone in to simply rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation within your life. But God is going to see you through. And you're going to have times when you just, oh my goodness, God is doing this. I am walking with him and he is walking with me. And then there are going to be people around you that they're not going to be happy about it. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. You may be going good. Things are going well. Well, they got themselves in that fix, didn't they? That's why they're in that fix, because they got, you know. You will have naysayers. You will have people that have a complaint. And I hate to tell you that every fix that I've gotten into, I've gotten myself into it, just like you got yourself in that fix. So when somebody has something to rejoice about, I want to stand up. I want to shout with them. I want to praise God for what He has done in their lives. Ladies, this is for you. I went visited a family member this week, and I have a sister who is just marvelous at sewing and at knitting, you know? Now, I've never tried to knit. I don't know. That to me is like, man, it looks hard. I mean, it looks tough. I don't think I could do it, you know. And my mother used to crochet, and I mean, like, I'm like, Mom, I can't do anything I can't spell, so I don't even think about it. And it took me a while to figure out knit. So, but I thought about it, and then I learned about knitting just a little bit. I didn't try, but I did learn about it. And I learned that there is one very essential part of knitting that you have to learn if you're going to knit well. You have to learn how to unknit. Come on. I was asking, and they were explaining to me, because they'd gone down this row and they'd gone down this row, but all of a sudden they dropped a stitch or something like that. They dropped a stitch, and I looked on the floor. I didn't see no stitch on the floor. I came back. I looked at what they're doing, and they said, now I have to go back, and I have to unknit back to the place, and I have to fix that. Then I can go on knitting until the next spot that I may have to go back and unknit. But one of the crucial things to learn is how to unknit. How to unknit. How not to have that, to go over that urge to interrupt the pastor during his sermon. You know that? You know, I learned this, and I go, wow. And I thought about my life. And I thought about the times when I have had to go back and fix it. God had already fixed it. God had already taken care of it. He had already taken that person. He had already spoken to their heart. He already knew exactly what was going on. He knew the intentions of what I'd done might have been the right thing, you know. But He knew, and I knew within my heart, that I had to go back and fix it. And simply by obeying God, it was taken care of. And I know in relationships, and I know in different times when things are going rough, there may be some conflict. If you will simply listen to the mind and heart of God and be willing to swallow your pride and go back and fix it, then the knitting can continue on. The beautiful things that are made. And I tell you, when I sit and I look at blankets, when I look at all the things that those people do, and I am just intrigued. And I fully rejoice in the talents that people have done simply because they learned how to go back and fix it, to re-knit. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, if he loses just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? You're going to have troubles. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have things. You're going to have times in your life that you just kind of scratch your head and you just don't know. I encourage you. Look at the book. Allow God to speak to you through His scriptures, through this love letter that is written to you and I, we call the Bible. Be willing to allow Him to love you as much as He does. We so many times beat ourselves up. Oh, preacher, if you just knew me, if you just knew all about me, that you would... I couldn't ever be good enough for God to love. And I said, no, that's wrong. God loved you. He loved you before your parents loved you, before anyone in your family loved you. God loved you. I want to thank you for being a loving congregation. I want to thank you for giving me a gift that has got a lot of humor in it. I have no idea where this will end up. I started with 12. Thought I better save that one for the sermon. Share what good thing God is doing for you, even during the time of struggle, even during the time of challenge. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we've gathered in this place, and God, you've given us such a beautiful day outside. You've given us just fresh breezes outside, and you've given us just a day that we can enjoy. But as we came inside, as we entered into this sanctuary, you've given us such a warm spirit in here that simply has lifted our hearts. So Heavenly Father, for the one that is struggling, the one that is just searching, the one that is seems like they're on the outskirts, just lost today, God, speak to that heart. Let them know that you are searching for them. And let them to be willing to receive you. Now, Heavenly Father, as we go upon our way, give us safe traveling mercies. We thank you again for all the folks taking part in the service today, for the wonderful musicians, for those that sang, those that played. And God, thank you for loving us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Blessings from Beulah Street, from Mount Calvary Community Church, the little church by the side of the road in Alexandria, Virginia. If you have a prayer request, if you'd like more information about the church, or if you'd like to speak with someone at Mount Calvary Community Church, please call us at 703-971-0165. We'd love to hear from you. Mount Calvary Community Church is located at 6731 Beulah Street in Alexandria, Virginia. You can find live webcasts of our Sunday service on Facebook and find us online at www.mountcalvary.cc. Now, on behalf of Pastor Charlie Wood and everyone at Mount Calvary Community Church, I'm Roger Wallace. Thanks for listening.